So let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read 17 to 19. This morning we were looking at verse 18, so it may be a bit strange to look at verse 17 this evening, but that's what we're going to do. So 1 John 4, 17 to 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And verse 17 then says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord, we come again then to these verses in 1 John, and we have been thinking for a few weeks now about perfect love. We have thought about fear this morning, and how fear is the result of torment, that voice that we hear condemning us, whispering to us about our own faults. Lord, we come to ask you then to speak to us again through your word. We want to submit to it. We want to be open to it. Lord, we don't want to keep your word in a little box that is just opened on a Sunday. But Lord, we want it to shape and control and guide the way that we live our lives. So Lord, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you turn to verse 17 then, the context of verse 17 is referred to there as the day of judgment. And you may remember last Sunday night that we spent our entire time thinking about this day of judgment. And last Sunday, if you were here, we said that this day of judgment is a future day. It's a day that is taught in the scriptures, and yet it's a day that's impossible for us to fully understand. So it's the last day, it's the final day. It's the day that sees the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in glory and majesty and power, coming again to this world in which we live, but not like the first time when he was born of the Virgin Mary and was born in darkness and obscurity. This day of judgment heralds the return of Christ in all his majesty as God, and he comes in order to judge men and women. Now, if you can remember last Sunday, we said that one way of understanding this is to think about that ceremony in the Old Testament that's known as the Day of Atonement. So in ancient Israel, the most important religious festival of the year saw the high priest going into the temple, and at the back of the temple was a room that was separated from the other room with this veil. And the high priest would go in behind the veil where God himself made his presence felt. And in that room, the high priest would offer sacrifice to God. Now that idea is fulfilled in Christ. Christ has returned to heaven, like the high priest going into the temple. Christ has gone behind the veil into the very presence of God. And Christ is now in that holy place in heaven. So just as the high priest would have been in the holy place in the temple behind the veil, so is Christ in the fulfillment of that in the glories of heaven. We are like the people in ancient Israel who met, gathered around the temple on the outside, whilst their priest was inside ministering to God. Now, in ancient Israel, the high priest would come out of the temple, he would come out to the crowds. It was a great moment of rejoicing as that high priest comes from the presence of God to bless the people. And that's the idea behind the Day of Judgment. That Christ now, in the glories of heaven, comes from God. He comes out of, if you like, of the heavenly temple, and he comes for his people. That was what we were saying last Sunday. And the Day of Judgment has this basic idea of division. The Day of Judgment will see Christ dividing human beings from each other. And that division, we saw it last Sunday, will cut through the heart of communities. So neighbor will be divided from neighbor. The division will cut through the heart of friendships. So one friend will be divided from another. Lifelong friends will experience this division. Christ will divide families from each other. So husbands will be separated from wives, parents from children, grandparents from their grandchildren. This division on the Day of Judgment is a division caused by Christ. He will divide, and there will be those on his right, and there will be those on his left. Those on his right, we are told, will be taken into the glories of heaven, and those on his left will be taken from his presence and forever separated in that place that is referred to as hell. If you were here last Sunday, can I ask you whether, since last Sunday, you've thought at all about this Day of Judgment? Have you thought about this division and what it would mean for you and what it would mean for families, for friends, for neighborhoods, and for communities? Now, the context of John's description of perfect love is the context of the Day of Judgment. And what John is aiming at is this. He wants every Christian to think about that day with confidence. He wants every believer in Christ to anticipate this day with joy. He wants every Christian to be filled with gladness at the thought of this day, to have no fear, to have no anxiety, to have no dread at all at the prospect of this day. So let's build a little on what we said this morning. As Christians, then, we have this voice that sits on our shoulder, this voice that finds fault with us, this voice that comments on what we do and how we are. This negative, critical voice that we have to live with day by day. And as a result of this voice, we can believe the criticism it makes of us. The result is fear. Then we have negative thoughts about ourselves and negative thoughts about God. Now that then builds to this negative thought about the Day of Judgment. So here's my first question to you. However you understand the day of judgment, whatever we don't understand about it, we can't get away from the teaching of Scripture. Clearly taught here by John, elsewhere by Paul, and especially in the ministry of Jesus, there is this teaching about the day of judgment, the return of Christ, and the judgment of men and women. So as you think about this then, my question is, how do you anticipate it? How do you feel about yourself in light of the day of judgment? What John wants for you is to face that day with confidence. So as you think about it even, as you listen to sermons preached on it, and on the day itself, to have confidence in this day. How is it possible? Well, take a look at what John says. And we're going to take the phrase perfect love. We have it throughout these verses. I pointed out to you this morning, especially verse 18, perfect love casts out fear. I want you to understand what perfect love means. And if you can grasp that, you'll be able to think about the day of judgment with confidence. So let's take the word perfect. If I was to say to you that the word in the Greek language is used to form part of an everyday English word that we are very familiar with. Take the word television. The first part of the word television, tele, comes from this Greek word that is here translated as perfect. So how do we get television, how do we get the idea of perfect from that? So I want to explain it to you in two ways. First of all, the word television. It means something somewhere takes place and is filmed, and it ends up being seen in your home from one place to another, from a studio or from a location. And that location could be inside a house. It could be on top of a mountain. Something happens somewhere, and the image of it ends up, comes to an end in your front room. That's the idea of the word telly. From one place to the next. From a beginning to an end. And that's the idea of perfect love. From one place to an end. And it's really important to remember the idea of an end, a final point. If you like, a stop. So you watch your televisions, I'm sure we all win when we get home, and that image ends on your television screen. That's where you see it. And that's the idea of the Greek word. Perfect love is a love that has a beginning and that has an end. It starts and it finishes. That's what perfect love refers to. So let me give you a second illustration. This week is going to be a very big week for the world. After months and months of campaigning, the American election will finally end, in a sense, this coming Tuesday. So the votes will be cast and a choice will be made. Now, I want you to think about the American election. I find it difficult to understand the process involved in the American election. So this is how it seems to me. First of all, you start with people wanting to be candidates for the election. So you'll get seven people wanting to be the Democratic candidate. You'll get nine people wanting to be the Republican candidate. So you start with candidates. And then the next stop is you get these candidates having TV debates. And people watch and listen to see what the different candidates say and what their opinions are. Then the next stage, you have what are called the primaries and the caucuses. A choice is made from all these candidates, and that then goes on to the conventions, and the conventions finally choose one candidate to represent the party. Now, do you see it's a series of events? You start with the candidates, you have the debates, you have the primaries, you have the conventions, you have more debates, you have the election. And where does it all end? Well, we know, don't we, it's not going to end this Tuesday, because this Tuesday is the casting of votes. Then in December, you've got the Electoral College, and then it all ends on one day in January, the inauguration. The new president is sworn into office. Now, as you think about this, can you visualize the scene? The scene is Washington. You've got the White House in the background. You've got crowds of people lining that avenue that leads up to the White House. You have the stage set. You have the one who is president sworn into office. And it's a great and majestic occasion. The last event that began 18 months earlier with candidates. A start and an end. Now that's the idea of perfect love. There is a start and there is an end. And I want to do it in this way. The perfect love of God is seen in Christ. There is a start and there is an end. Now, as you look at John's verses, can you see where the start of this process is? Verse 14. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. If you like, that's the start. The start of God's perfect love in Christ starts with the sending of Christ into our world. Christ lives his perfect life. Christ dies on the cross for our sins. Christ is raised from the dead. All these are steps, stages, if you like, in God's perfect love in Christ. Christ ascends to heaven. Christ is at the right hand of God. And the final act, the ultimate moment of God's perfect love in Christ, is when Christ is sent again a second time. So John is asking you this. Think, he says, of the sending of Christ a second time as the final act of God's love in Christ. A love that begins in Bethlehem. A love that is seen on the cross. A love that is seen in the empty tomb. It's a love that comes to an end. It's a love that reaches a culmination in the sending of Christ a second time. If you've followed me so far then, can you see how John works? You can have confidence on the day of judgment if you think that the sending of Christ in glory is the final act of God's love in Christ. It's the fulfillment, the completion. It's the end of how God shows his love in his Son, Jesus Christ. So perfect love, don't forget now, perfect love means a love with a beginning and an end. And the end is the ultimate. It's the fulfillment. It's the highest moment in expression. So the love of God in Christ, it's perfect. It begins and it ends. It begins in Bethlehem and it ends with Christ returning to our world in glory and majesty and power. Now we can also apply it in this way. God's perfect love for you and me has a beginning and it has an end. So just like the perfect love of God is expressed in Christ, his perfect love for you and me has a beginning and an end. So think of where it begins. Where do you think God's love for you began? It begins in eternity past. God has always loved you. In a sense, his love has no beginning, just as he has no beginning. So if you want to think of a beginning, it's when God chose you in Christ, when he elected you for salvation. So the beginning of the love of God for you was choosing you. Then, if you like, the next stage, he called you to faith in Christ. Like we were thinking about this morning, we were living our lives and God called us by name and he drew us to Christ and he gave us faith to believe. God called us to salvation. And then the next stage in God's love, God forgave us, justified us, adopted us, declared us righteous. He has preserved us. He has kept us. These are all expressions of God's love for you. A love that began in eternity past. A love that was expressed to you, that sought you out and saved you. A love that has kept you and preserved you. That love of God for you, its final act is when Christ comes a second time. So when God sends his Son and the day of judgment unfolds, it's God's last act of love for you. A love that began in eternity past, reaches its fulfillment, its ultimate moment on the day of judgment. So do you see how it works then? I hope you do. When you think of the day of judgment, you can think of it like this. It's the final demonstration in Christ of God's love, and it's the final expression of God's love for you. How he began to love you, how he has continued to love you, and how he ultimately loves you. So if you think back to our verses then, if you think about the day of judgment as an expression of God's love, then there is nothing to fear. There is no anxiety. There is no torment in love. That's the idea then that John is working out. And if you want to, think of it in terms of the American election. It doesn't really work, but just do it anyway. That day in January 2017, when the president stands before the people and is sworn into office and takes up the role of president with all those crowds present, is the ultimate moment in a process that began 18 months earlier. The final act that is an act of celebration and rejoicing and hope and new beginnings with thousands of people in attendance, that's the image of the day of judgment. It's a final act. It's an ultimate moment of a process that began in eternity past. It's the ultimate coming together of the purpose of God in Christ and for his people. So let's end with this finally then. Do you notice verse 17? You see it again in the earlier verse that we mentioned this morning, verse 12. John also talks about love being perfected among us. So perfect love is God, God's love in Christ, God's love for you, a love with a beginning and an end. That's perfect love. Now then, love being perfected. I want to end with this question to you. Whose voice are you paying attention to? Day by day, whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice that sits on your shoulder? The voice that points out to you your mistakes and your failures? Are you listening to that voice that talks to you about what you should have done, about what you shouldn't have done, what you should have said or what you shouldn't have said? Is that the voice that you are listening to? That negative commentary that runs day by day? If that's the voice you're listening to, then love isn't being perfected in you. The voice that you should be listening to is God's voice expressed in his word. That's the voice to pay attention to. What God says, what God has done, what Christ says, what Christ has done, what God's purpose for you is, how God sees you, what God says about you, that's the voice to listen to. And if you listen to this voice, there's no place for fear. There is no place for torment. If you listen to that voice, your confidence will grow. And if you listen to that voice, love is being perfected among us. So here's your choice for the week ahead. Some of you I know will continue in the week ahead to listen to the voice on your shoulder. A voice that will accuse you of your sins at the end of each day. A voice that will mock you because again you haven't done certain things. And you have done the things you shouldn't. And this voice will talk to you about your sins and your weaknesses, and you'll listen to it, and you'll believe it, and you'll think about it, and you'll dwell on it, and you'll brood over it, because you're paying attention to the voice on your shoulder. Some of you will continue to listen to that voice instead of God's own voice. So here's the challenge. Are you prepared from this moment on to stop listening to that voice that brings fear and torment? Stop believing the voice that points out to you your sins and your failures and your mistakes and your bad choices. And instead, from this moment on, listen to God's voice. What does God think of you? What's God's view of you? What's God done for you? What's his purposes for you? What's his plans? How does he see you? How does he love you? It's a love with a beginning and an end. It's a love in Christ, who was born, who was raised from the dead, who's coming again. This is the voice that God speaks to you. And if we listen to that voice, then there will be no fear. Perfect love, the voice of God, the love that begins and ends, that's the voice to pay attention to. Well, let's pray, shall we?